Each week, InvestTalk listeners ask Steve and Justin what they use for winning investment research. And the answer is YCharts, quality data with easy-to-use tools. You can start your free trial today. And if you purchase during the month of June, you'll get 14 months of YCharts for the price of 12, plus a free subscription to the KPP Premium Newsletter. Subscribe now. go.ycharts.com/investtalk.
This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to InvestTalk. It is Tuesday, June 11, 2019. I'm Steve Peasley, and I thank you for joining me again today. And, of course, I hope you'll call me as well, asking any investing questions you want, anything about money, financing, anything to do with stocks and bonds, I'll be happy to talk about. And when and if you make the call, that is when you take charge, because your questions drive the show. They determine the shape of the show. So it's always to your advantage, too. Remember, our goal here on InvestTalk is to help you achieve that financial freedom goal we all want. It's that simple. And we want to share. We'll share all our knowledge. Justin and I will share all our knowledge. It might be limited, but we're going to share it. And we've been doing this for 20 years plus, something like that. So please give us a call. Ask any financial questions you want. Now today, in this hour, I'm going to do my best, of course, to answer every financial question. But there are areas where I'm weak, and I'll tell you so. So don't think I'm going to try to just bowl my way through. I'll tell you if I don't know something, because it's obvious when someone doesn't know something, and I don't want to pretend that I do. So I have computers in front of me with lots of software that helps me make any determination quickly. But other than that, you know, I'll do my best. So you drive the show. The line is now open, 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. That's our number. And our main talking point today concerns this story. When the herds get spooked, this is what a stock market crash could look like. Now, it's one opinion that claims confidence in the absolute efficiency of the Fed intervention, meaning, you know, everybody believes that the Fed's going to intervene and they're going to do it right and they're going to do it when we need it. Well, that breeds complacency because everybody believes that. And we've seen the evidence of that here in recent weeks. Now, that's the essential backdrop of the stock market crash, where everybody is complacent and believes. So we're going to examine this theory. Is this where we are right now? And we'll talk about that in detail. I'm also going to talk about some other things. Consumer credit spiked. I don't think we talked about that last week. It spiked in April, so we're going to discuss that. And, you know, we've talked about housing in different various ways. You know what the flipping rate is, where house flippers, you know, they buy it, fix it up, and sell it? That's called the flipping rate. And that kind of goes to the health of a housing market. I'd like to talk about that a little bit today. And value stocks are trading at their steepest discount ever, according to JP Morgan. Value stocks trading at their steepest discount to growth stocks ever. Never seen this before, this much. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. And, of course, you drive the show, so we're going to talk about whatever's on your mind. The market was down today, even though it was up most of the day and just kept getting weaker and weaker. And then it came back a little bit, then got weaker and weaker. And it ended up being down. Not a lot. Remember, this is after four or five up days. The Dow was down 14 points. The Nasdaq down 1. The S&P down 1. So that's after a pretty strong bounce from a very weak May. Okay, but we're nowhere near the highs of just before the fall in May. Now remember, that's lower than it was last September. So we got right close to the high of last September, which was the ultimate high in the market. Then it crashed in December, as you know, or fell, started in September, October, November, and then really fell hard in December. Then it made, over the next 3 or 4 months, January, February, March, April, and even up to May 1st, it tried to make a comeback and got close to its old high. Then all May just fell off. And now in the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, or 8 trading days in June, it's tried to make a comeback here. But not quite making the high it made in May 1st. So this is kind of important. Remember, we talked about this in the class, Invest Talk Academy, and the pattern that's being set up. And it could be, if we can break our old high here at the beginning of May, that could mean we have a new leg up in the market. It's going to rise. But I don't think we're there yet. Can't make that determination. So we'll see. So that's what we're going to talk about today. But of course, I want to hear what you want to talk about. So let's go ahead and go to Joe, who lives in New York. How you doing, Joe?
Hey, how you doing, Steve? Big fan of the show. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for calling. I appreciate that.
So I had a question about a stock, Trustco Bank, TRSC.
Okay. You want to buy it or do you already own it?
I already own it. I've had it for a while for the dividend. I was just wondering if you let me know what you thought about the financials of it long term.
Okay. Trustco Bank Corporation out of New York. It's a holding company for Trustco Bank operating through 148 offices in 32 counties in New York, Florida, Vermont, Massachusetts, and New Jersey. It's a small cap company, $731 million in size. So it's really small. And so the numbers are pretty solid. It has made money and consistently grows their income. I mean, every year for the last 10 years or so. So it's very consistent. Sales are growing between 5 and 8% per quarter, every quarter. I mean, that very consistent. Pays a 3.6% dividend, and it's a $7.55 stock, going to make 64 cents, so it can maintain that dividend fairly easy. It's a pretty darn solid bank, Joe. So I think your dividend is pretty much protected. I don't see that being a problem. And it's a good long-term hold bank. Even though it's small, and probably the chances of it getting bought up by somebody are pretty high. Because it, you know, it's $731 million. A lot of other banks could buy that without even thinking about it. It's spare change to them, the bigger banks. But it's a good, solid bank. Financially, it's a really solid bank. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. TRST is the symbol. Trustco Bank Corporation of New York. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley, and I want you to be aware of a very special upcoming financial event in Southern California. And I'm talking about our Invest Talk Wealth Conference. It is set for Saturday, June 22nd, and in Irvine. That is less than 2 weeks from today. At our Wealth Conference, Justin Klein and I will help you understand the current volatile market. We will give you a plan to boost income and manage your investment risk. And finally, we'll define ways for you to find opportunities, great opportunities still in the marketplace. So please make your plans for June 22nd, 9 to 11 a.m. in Irvine. To learn more and purchase tickets, go to investtalk.com. And now I'm taking your questions live, 888-99-CHART.
Can you believe it? We are fast moving through June and the second quarter of 2019. Your objective is to work hard, plan well, and achieve financial freedom, right? You're in luck because Steve Peasley is here now, ready to take your finance and investment questions. Call 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Of course, President Trump is at it again. He come out swinging at the Fed. He doesn't. You remember back in December, he talked about the Fed needs to lower rates or stop increasing rates and lowering rates. And a month or two ago, he mentioned it again. And today, Trump repeated his tweet storm against the Fed, criticizing the Federal Reserve. He says that the U.S. is at a disadvantage compared to other major currencies like the euro because the other central banks keep interest rates lower than ours, and they are. They're at zero, basically. And when they compare it with ours, the Federal Reserve rate is pretty high compared to them. Now, in absolute terms, the Federal Reserve rate is low, but not compared to other major currencies, so that puts us at a disadvantage. And to that extent, he is correct. Okay, but that doesn't take into consideration everything. The euro and other currencies are devalued against the dollar, so that puts pressure on our dollar going up. That means we're at a disadvantage when it comes to trade, which is true. That is all true. He goes a little bit further than he probably should because he said the Federal Reserve doesn't have a clue. Well, of course they have a clue. I mean, I'm not a big fan of the Federal Reserve either, but they're smart people there. They're just wrong a lot. Trump also said in a separate tweet that the U.S. has low inflation, calling it a beautiful thing. Yeah, we have very low inflation. That's true, too. Market expectations for lower rates have increased recently. And after the release of weakening economic data, the Labor Department jobs report, remember last Friday, it was only 75,000 for May, kind of pointing to a slower economy, not a shrinking economy. We're not talking about recession. We're talking a slower growth. So, you know, that's all very true. Okay, all very true. So, also, members of the baby boom, that's me, my generation, we're getting blamed for the dwindling funds of our Social Security system. Well, we have about 10,000 of us retiring every day. In other words, we're reaching 65 years old, okay? Now, I don't know if it's true or not, but it seems like there's a lot of false accusations that the baby boomer generation is putting undue pressure on Social Security funds because there's so many of us, when in actuality, yes, there is a lot of us. And yes, you have to be a beneficiary, you have to pay. But, you know, remember when Social Security first started? Then they were paying out money and there was no one paid into the system at all at the very beginning, right? I mean, these people got money for never putting money in. I'm a part of the baby boomer generation. Why don't you just give me back my money? How about just giving me all my money I gave you and I'll manage it? I do a lot better than the government. I doubt if I'll get all my money back. So it's not necessary. Look at all those baby boomers, how much money. And, of course, government has been raiding the Social Security funds for years and years and years. That hasn't helped. And now they're saying to fix it, they got to increase Social Security taxes. You know how many times they've increased Social Security taxes since it first went in? They've increased it all the time. So what is it, like 12-13% an employee has to pay, and then the employer has to match that 12-13%? Whatever that number is, I think that's what the number is. I'm not that attuned to it, but I know it's been going up and up and up for years and years and years. And now they've cut, you know, how they have to do. In actuality, it was designed for people to be dead before they start collecting them. Because the average, that length of life was in the 60s when it first put in. Early 60s, and you didn't collect till 65. Now, it's what, 78 years old? And they barely change the time you collect it. So in actuality, Social Security, if you wanted to be, you know, fully functional and funded, you should have kept it in relative age that you did back in 1939 to today. So you wouldn't be collecting until you're in your 70s. See, that's really what they should have done. They should have tagged it to, you know, the mortality tables. But they didn't. Because it's government. They didn't think about it. They didn't think far ahead. They don't think far ahead. They think of the next year. Maybe. Anyways, you can't blame. Don't blame the people who are collecting benefits. Blame government for being stupid about how they set it up in the first place. It's that simple. Anyways. Of course, you know, there's going to be a tough time ahead. You know, have you seen Chico's numbers? Tough times for them. Chico's a barrel company. You'll see. Tough time. You're listening to InvestTalk. and we want to help you reach your financial freedom goal. So please feel free and contact me. Give me a call. Or call us at the office at KPP Financial in Irvine. Justin and I will be happy to talk to you. I'm taking your financial lesson questions live at 888-99-CHART.
This is Invest Talk, the radio program and podcast dedicated to helping you achieve financial freedom. You may be a regular listener. You may even have called a few times. But if you've never called, what are you waiting for? The phone lines are open, and Steve and Justin would love to hear your questions right now. Call 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Let's go talk to Nick in Hayward. How you doing, Nick?
Yeah, fine. How are you, sir?
I am good. Thank you for the call.
Thank you for taking my call. Yeah.
Hello.
Investing. Yeah. Hello.
Hello. Someone was dialing numbers. I didn't hear you. Someone's hitting numbers.
Hello.
Yeah. I think you're hitting your numbers.
You were talking about value investing. How do you tell it's a value stock?
Okay. Okay. That's a very good question. And one of the classes we put on was telling you how to do that. But it's not really that difficult. Value stocks generally sell at a discounted P.E. ratio. In other words, usually their P.E. is low compared to the market, okay? And even value stocks, even compared to their own industry, is low. Versus growth stocks. Growth stocks is focused on sales growth and earnings growth. Now, value stocks can have growth of sales and earnings, but they always sell at a discount to their multiples, P.E., price to sales, price to book. Generally, value stocks are bigger companies. Growth stocks are small companies growing very fast. Okay, so they're generally, you can kind of tell a value versus PE, a value versus growth. Okay, so look at the multiples. When you see a PE ratio under 10, you can almost put in your head that's probably a value stock. If you see a market cap over $5 or $10 billion with low PE multiples and paying a dividend, they tend to be the value stocks. You don't see a lot of growth. You might see single digit. Matter of fact, I'm a value plus growth investor. I'd like to see some growth, but I like value over growth. Now, growth has been in favor for a number of years now, but over long periods of time, value generally outperforms growth. But growth has been in favor, like it was in the late 1990s until the dot-com implosion. That was a period of high growth, sales growth, but not profit growth, which is interesting. So value just this last week was up 4% versus growth up only 2.6%. So we saw value stocks outperform. And this is according to J.P. Morgan. They put out these statistics. The forward P.E. on the S&P value is like 7 times price to book and 9 times P.E. ratio. So values are very, very cheap compared to growth right now. Good question, though. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Okay? This is Vest Talk, and we're ready to – we're already into the, you know, the second – oh, gosh. You guys – let's see. Okay, let's go to the main talking point. But now it's about herds, okay? When we talk about herds and investing, we're talking about everybody doing the same thing, the herd mentality, okay? So when everybody thinks and acts the same or expects the same, that's the herd mentality we're talking about. And in this case, there was a guy named Charles Smith, who was writing and says that his opinions were where we are in a herd mentality. And he feels that, you know, when everybody is really complacent about the Fed going to come in and save us, in this particular article, he's saying that the Fed, everybody believes that the Fed is going to have our back. We don't have to worry about it. So that's what his whole points are. Markets usually climb a wall of worry. And when they do crawl up, everybody starts to get complacent whenever there's dips and people are buying on the dips because they feel that the Federal Reserve will come in and lower the rate and save us, save the market. And that thinking is really the problem you have, because the more and more of people believe that, the more likely that we're going to have a crash. So when you read or see everybody not being too worried about the market because the Federal Reserve is going to lower rates, and you know the market keeps bouncing up when we have some crisis. For instance, we had a correction in December, and the market bounced really back up, big time, back up to the top after a few months. Then we had another decent sized correction in all the month of May, and now the market's starting to come up. If the market does not exceed the high made in late April or the May 1st time frame, and it fails there, that is a very big kind of red flag, that then the market rolls down again, and then you have another bounce up because people think the Fed's going to lower the rate because the economy is looking weak. Anyways, this article that we're reading, this guy, feels like we're setting ourselves up for a bad fall. Now, whether he's right or wrong, you know, someone's going to be right because everybody guesses about different things. What I tend to tell you is you got to stay with the market as long as the market looks strong. It doesn't hurt to rebalance, take some money, put some money on the sidelines, and wait for a better opportunity. Because I don't know. No one knows. You have all these writers and experts. You know, they all have different opinions. Some of them are diametrically opposed to each other. So don't freak out about anybody. Just be careful. On tomorrow's Invest Talk, exactly how the Department of Justice go after the Google, Apple, and other big techs, how are they going to do that? That's tomorrow. 888-99-CHART is our number.
This is Invest Talk, and if you live anywhere in Southern California, Steve Peasley and Justin Klein encourage you to make plans to attend KPP Financial's Invest Talk Wealth Conference. It's happening on Saturday, June 22nd in Irvine, California.
In today's low-yield world, it is difficult to find great income opportunities while still maintaining safety and liquidity. Steve and I can help you.
At the conference, Steve and Justin will help you understand the current volatile market and global economic environment. They'll give you a plan to boost income and manage investment risk. And they'll define ways to find great opportunities in any market environment. The Summer Invest Talk Wealth Conference is an investor learning opportunity that you should not miss.
I'm Justin Klein. I invite you to attend our next Invest Talk Wealth Conference, Saturday, June 22nd.
This is Invest Talk, the KPP premium newsletter distributed to each subscriber's inbox on Fridays. Provides a summary of the market week that was, offers a look ahead, and even points out notable stock ideas. You can subscribe anytime at InvestTalk.com. Have you got a question for Steve? He's here, and the lines are open. 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. We're going to talk to Oscar in the Bay Area. How you doing, Oscar?
I'm doing great, Steve. Awesome show. Hey, I had a quick
thank
question.
You.
A couple of weeks ago, you had recommended a book, Simple Way to Wealth, by J.L. Collins.
Uh-huh.
And he's talking about if you're in your wealth-building years, just to keep things simple, keep it all in Vanguard Total Stock Index. Just wanted to hear your opinion on that, if that's a sound
strategy.
That
is a sound strategy, Oscar. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that strategy. You could buy, it's the same strategy. You're buying the whole market, okay? You can buy the S&P 500, which is 80% of the market. Vanguard Total Stock Market Index is the whole market. And the reason why that's sound is because over long periods of time, over history, the market has gone up about 7 to 8%. And if you count the dividends all that time, it's closer to 9 to 11% over long periods of time. Now, the problem with this, Oscar, is not anything to do with the strategies. That's not the problem. The problem is with people, the investor. The problem is that at times they may need the money and they take it out or take some out. And at times when the market crashes 50%, they panic and take it out. And they don't continue just to put money in over long periods of time. Because there could be years when you don't make any money, Oscar. There could be years in which you lose money and you get disheartened and you don't believe it anymore. And you take the money out right at the wrong time. And that's what okay. So the problem is not the strategy, it's the people staying with the strategy. And now right now, gotcha. You know, investing in that strategy, you're investing in a market that's been gone up for a very long time. And people think this is normal, that it's going to continue to do this, and it's not. It's not. So it's at some point going to give back some of this gain. But I'll tell you this, if you keep investing through that period, Oscar, you'll do very well over 20 years, 30 years, 40, you'll do very well. But it's hard to convince people of that. Okay, Oscar, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. So yeah, even though I'm a money manager and I, don't just buy index and hold, I have nothing wrong with the strategy. Is I have problems with people sticking with the strategy. Stick with it. And they don't. I can't even convince my own family to do that. In the last big market crash in 2008, people, my own family, panics out as I'm telling them, no, buy more. Nope. I'm losing money. Yeah. Okay. Let's go to Michael in Los Angeles. How you doing, Michael? I want to talk about Beyond Meat. How you doing?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I called you on Friday. So I shorted Beyond Meat at like 130 on the dot, I believe it was. And
so remind people what we discussed and what we decided on Friday, what I said, so that they have context. Okay.
So pretty much you told me to let it keep on skyrocketing, which it did. And then it got up to what, 176. So I ended up shorting it again, some more. And then now I'm thinking about, tomorrow or something like that. Do you see, how would you play it out? I probably pulled the trigger a little too early on shorting it at 130, but what's your thoughts on Beyond Meat? Because I feel like a lot of people are shorting it, and this is why it's showing this kind of response.
There is not as much shorting interest as you might think. At this point, there are people shorting it, but it looks like it has a half a day's short, which means it's a 20 million shares are shorted. And yeah, that is quite a bit, even though it's half a day, because the volume is so huge. Big, the shares outstanding are only 32 million. So yeah, there's a number of shares, not many days in volume, but the volume is so huge that there is a lot of short interest on it right now. A half a day usually normally is not a lot of short interest, but in this case, the volume is so huge, so outlandishly large compared to the number of shares in the float that there is a lot of shorting interest. There might be a short squeeze going on because people have to get out of short. That means they have to buy the stock, and the stock will go up if that happens. And, of course, the stock was down 25% today. What's your average price, Michael, on your short?
I had to say that again. No, I don't know right now.
Find out what your average price is. You want to know what your average price is. It looks like, to me, I think it's going to fill the gap back down to about $99, $100. I think it's going to go to $100. And if it was me and I was playing the short, meaning I'm, for everybody else, I'm explaining this, Michael, meaning he believes the stock's going to go down. And he can make money if it does. And I think it'll go down, probably retest at least the $100 area, at least. And if it did that, I'd be taking some profits off the table. That's what I would do, Michael. Okay? Good luck with it. Beyond Meat, BYND. Does everybody? It's a very new stock. Came out at what? What was the IPO offering price? Oh, I don't remember. But it was right around $40 or $50. And it's been screaming up, okay? And it came out in May, beginning of May. It's screaming up every time. Beyond Meat manufactures, markets, and sells plant-based meat products in the United States and international. Okay, I love the way this describes. Manufacturing, markets, and sells plant-based meat products. Wait a minute. Plant-based meat products. Okay, that isn't that what diametrically opposed? If it's meat, it's meat. If it's plant, it's plant. So how can it be plant-based meat? But you know what they're doing. They're making plants. It looks like meat, tastes like meat, feels like meat, but it's plant. It's plant. It's not. It's plant-based. It's not meat. Anyways, very, very high sales growth. Makes no money. They will make money, they say, for the first time in 2020. 7 cents a share. Is 7 cents a share worth 126? This is a classic growth stock, by the way, because sales growth is growing 100 to 200% per quarter. That's a growth stock. Doesn't have to make profits. Value stocks always make profits. Growth stocks don't have to. They just got to be growing really fast. Okay? I'm Steve Peasley, and you're listening to Invest Talk. So I think it's safe to assume that you're pretty serious about investing and you want to grow your wealth. Everybody does, but you guys that listen to the show are more serious about it. And that's great. But of course, you know, you have to make investment choices like Michael did about Beyond Meat, like Oscar did about, you know, Total Stock Market Index by Vanguard. So, but there's always fear, there's always greed that plays a part. Always is. And the fear comes in, when I was talking to Oscar and telling him about people, you know, his strategy is great, buy the total market, buy an index and stay in it forever. But fear, your risk of being able to handle the variable moves of down in the market, that you need to understand your own personal fear, your personal risk tolerance. How much fear can you handle? And that's what I'm talking about when I was talking about Oscar, about people staying in the market. Well, we have something to measure that, to try to measure that. It's all math based. It's not something we just come up with on the air. And these are, you know, supposedly Nobel Prize winning smart people about your risk tolerance, and you can take this test and it will score you from 0 to 100. And see how much risk you're willing to take. If you score 80, around 80 is the stock market risk. Below that, you want to take less risk in the market. Above that, you're okay with more risk, according to this. Then we can take your portfolio and do the same thing. See how much risk that is and score that. So it's Riskalyze. And it's just a short questionnaire on our website, investtalk.com. Go ahead and take the test. It's only a few questions. 888-99-CHARTER is our number.
A quick reminder, if there's a term that you hear mentioned on the program but you're unclear about what it means or you have a question about it, we want you to ask. It's very likely that you're not the only one with that same question. 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Wesley in Stockton. How you doing, Wesley?
Doing great, Steve. I hope you're doing well, too.
I am. Except I got a cold. I got too many nieces and nephews over for the weekend, and they gave me a cold. So it's great.
Yeah, those guys are contagion bugs.
You know,
but my question is
they
about
are.
AT&T.
Okay.
I am curious about holding it as a long-term position. I was curious, what do you think about their debt level? What do you think about their dividend? If it's like a long, it's going to hold their high percent dividend for a while, at least a couple years. And I also had a question about selling puts. If there was a dividend event and I happen to have a selling a put, would I have to pay out that dividend?
Okay. AT&T, everybody, the symbol of stock is T, provides, you know, telephone, long distance and network assets and wireless services, that kind of thing. It is more of a value stock, which means that it's not a high PE is not there. They don't have a high PE. Their PE right now is 9, and their earnings are going to be 356, which is 1% higher than last year. And next year is going to be 363, which is 2% higher. That's a value stock. Low PE, high dividend, 6.4%. Cash flow, they're going to make $3.63 a share next year, but their cash flow is $6.75. And their debt is actually high, but going down. So they've been paying more and more off the debt, which is good. And their sales growth actually is growing, you know, 15% or so because of the recent purchases. So I think it's a really good long-term core holding kind of stock. So, Wesley, I would not worry about that. Now, you said you're selling puts. In other words, you're going to put the stock to somebody if it goes down too far?
Yeah, because I don't like it at 32, and I'd rather get at a lower price point, so I'm just going to try to wait and maybe get in with a put sell.
Well, it depends on the ex-dividend date was for April 9th, the last one. So that's when they paid the last dividend. And it depends. If you still own it before you put it, you'll get the dividend. If you know, you still own the stock. As long as you own it, you get that dividend. And when they go X, whatever that date is, the next date. And the next date is coming up probably in July, beginning of July. So as long as you own it, you'll get the dividend. If you put it to somebody, they're going to get the dividend. The day it goes X. Okay? Appreciate the call. Thank you. I see Peasley, and of course you're listening to InvestTalk. And I want to talk to you about what you're doing with your stocks. What are you doing? Are you worried? Are you panicking? Are you pretty comfortable? Are you complacent? Are you complacent? That's really what I want to know. Anyways, hold on a second. I have a cough button now, so if I have to cough, I can hit it. Okay, consumer credit for April spiked 5.2%. That was up from March at 3.3%. So that's $13 billion to $17.5 billion or so, something like that. Revolving credit is up 7.9% from a shrinkage. Now, we're talking about revolving credit in April. It was up 7.9%. But in March, it shrunk 2.3%. 2.3%. Why is this important? Remember, our economy is driven by the consumer. And this consumer needs to have a job, which he does, right? We have very low unemployment. And the consumer needs to be spending, meaning using credit cards and other things. So things are looking still fine, even though the jobs report, you had 75,000 new jobs last Friday for May, which was low, expected 175, 180. We only have what? 75. Was it 75 or was it 25? I'm getting old. That's why I'm losing my mind sometimes. But it was weak. The jobs report was weak. But this morning we had job openings were equal to last month, 7 million. We have more openings than we have people looking for jobs. So we're seeing all these cracks, but we're not seeing anything breaking apart in the economy. Just cracks. And those cracks are telling us that we're slowing down. That's all. These numbers telling us we're slowing down. Okay. So we're slowing down. What are we slowing down to? Well, the Fed is keeping an eye out, and that's why people thinking, you see, with this jobs report, which was weak, the Fed, people think, oh, the Fed's going to come in and save us. They'll lower the interest rates. Yay. Well, they may or may not, but they talked that they would. And, of course, President Trump is pressuring them, at least in the public eye, to lower them. So we'll see if they actually do lower them. And frankly, I think they shouldn't have raised the last rate increase. And you heard me on the radio saying I wouldn't do this. And that was in December. Remember they rose the rate? So I wouldn't do this. You know, we got to wait till all the other increases filter through. And, and compared to other economies, and Trump is right, other economies, you know, our rates are pretty high. And we do want them to get to normalization, but we'd like to see a whole world get to normalization. And I don't know if that's in the cards for anytime soon. I just don't think it is. So that's what we're looking at. We're looking at a solid economy, just not growing as fast as it was, but with no inflation. Okay. This is InvestTalk, everybody. I'm Steve Peasley, and we have one goal here, and that's help you to achieve financial freedom. And our work continues after this break, so get your questions in while you can. 888-99-CHART.
Steve and Justin are always grateful when you make InvestTalk a part of your daily routine. And their unbiased guidance can be an invaluable aid to your efforts at building a strong portfolio. The phone lines are open. Steve is here and he's ready for your questions. 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Nick in Martinez. How you doing, Nick?
Hey, how's it going, Steve? Thank you for your show. I'm an avid
Good.
Listener and I love it.
Great. Thank you.
My question was classification. Would you call WDC a value or value plus growth? I was just wondering.
Okay, that's a good question. At this stage, it no longer is a growth stock, Nick. Used to be huge growth stock in the 90s and early 2000s. It was a great growth stock. But Western Digital is now a big blue chip kind of stock. It makes hard disk, solid state drives for desktop, notebook, computers, enterprise applications. It's an $11 billion company. It makes money, but they're going to earn much less this year than they did last year, and they're going to earn 23% less next year. So they're going to make $3.73 next year, and it's a $38 stock. So it's about 11 PE. So it's not overvalued. It's not overvalued, but it's no longer a growth stock because sales growth has been shrinking the last three quarters. So it pays a nice dividend, 5.2%, and I think that dividend is pretty secure because cash flow is $18 a share. So it's now a big blue chip kind of company. Don't think it's not going to go back to its glory days that it had before. So is it a good price here? Yeah, it's probably a pretty decent price here. If you're looking for the dividend, it's a pretty solid dividend, and it'll probably maintain that. WDC.
Yeah, due to the cyclical nature of what they sell, and it's kind of almost like a commodity sometimes, you know, with a NAND. And
almost,
the,
yes. So they're never, because of that, Nick, you hit it right on the hill and they nail right on the head. Because of that commoditization of hard drives and disk drives and all that stuff, they're not commodities, but they're commoditized, meaning they don't have a lot of power to increase prices. They don't. So it's a big blue chip company that's not going to grow very much. That's it. But it pays a nice dividend. Nick, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Good question. WDC, Western Digital, everybody. I remember when it first came out. I mean, I remember in the 90s. I mean, there was a big growth. I mean, think about it. Disk drives, PCs, they were making everything. Seagate and Western Digital were the two big guys. Good companies. They still are good companies. Don't think or not. Just don't think of them in the terms of growth anymore. It's like Microsoft. You can't think of that as a growth company anymore. Or Intel. Or Cisco Systems. They're not growth anymore. They're not growth companies. They're too big. Okay? Their heyday is no longer there. Who's a big growth company now? Maybe in artificial intelligence? You got to look at the meatless company we just talked about, Beyond Meat. Those are growth companies. Yeah. You got to think about that. 888-99-CHART is our number, guys. Give me a call. 9-year high in home flipping rate. We're at a 9-year high. 49,000 homes were flipped. You know, when you buy them, you fix them up, and you sell them. That's the flipping rate I'm talking about. 9-year high. 49,000 of them last quarter. 7.2% of all home sales. So, now, is that something, what is that telling us? That's probably telling us that the housing market has peaked. That's what it's telling me. Prices have gone up, right? We know that. By the Case-Shiller home price, we know the houses prices are high. Okay, well, but we've also noted the growth of the increase in price, that sales price increase growth has slowed way down. So we know that that is now coming, and if this is a 9-year high, it's probably peaked. And so, if you looked at this flipping rate and you looked at these 49,000 houses, you'll also will see that profit margins are down. So therefore, it's peaked. So what does that tell you? Don't be in a big rush to go out and buy a house. That's what it's telling you. Doesn't mean the house is going to crash or anything because mortgage rates have fallen sharply, right? But don't think that the price is going to continue up. You might get a better price if you are patient. It's hard to know, but we're late in the economic cycle, everybody. We're very late. It's been a long up economic cycle. How late are we? A year, 2 years away from a recession? You heard me talk about it. I'm Steve Peasley, and this completes another program, Invest Talk program, everybody. And I thank you for listening. Thank you for your loyal support and your calls. I do appreciate it. And please come back tomorrow. Justin will be here, by the way, tomorrow. So have a good night.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is President and Justin Klein, Chief Executive Officer of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial. And they thank you for listening and welcome your comments or questions on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.